From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Leiden. For 40 years, Emmaus House in Harlem has served the poor, offering food, shelter, and most importantly, spiritual comfort. It's a community where the poor serve the poor. Recently, the dozen or so residents buried their spiritual leader, the Reverend David Kirk. Father David died at the age of 72 last month. NPR producer Kate Davidson visited the residents of Emmaus House this week in Harlem as she sought to learn more about Father David, a priest who emulated what he believed to be the social radicalism of Jesus.
Daryl Wood met Father David over 20 years ago when he first came to Emmaus from the streets. It's been a rough road since then. But even now, he says he can still hear Father David's counsel.
Listen, just listen. Show love. The most important thing with him was to show love, to see Christ in the stranger. And sometimes with the type of people we get at the door, it can be a little difficult to see. But that's whenever the doorbell rings, I try to prepare myself to see Christ in a stranger.
He says that's because he too once knocked at that door.
I lived out in the streets for about 11 years, sleeping under a bridge in a tunnel with rats and garbage and stuff, standing on the corner of 50th and 7th every night with a cup in my hand, begging for nickel, dimes, and pennies.
My name is Winfrey Daniels. I used to smoke crack, and I used to drink. Father David used to call us the community of the wounded. We all are wounded in one way or another, and we're here to help one another.
Long-term residents Louis Centeno, Winifred Daniels, and Daryl Wood each remember meeting Father David for the first time.
I came upstairs. I saw a man with a beard, T-shirt, food stains on a T-shirt.
And I kept looking at him, and he says, "What?" I says, "You just don't remind me of a priest." He says, "But I'm not your traditional priest."
Father David looked like a lumberjack. I could imagine him with an axe over his shoulder, somewhere regularly trying to chop down a tree. But there was a heavenly glow about him.
And then he leaned back, took off his slippers, and put his feet on the coffee table. And I noticed there was holes in his socks. And I said to myself, "I'm home."
Father David's journey to Harlem began in America's segregated South in the 1930s. He was born into a poor family in Mississippi, where his father was what he called a dirt farmer. They later traveled through the South in search of work. David Kirk grew up Baptist, though not especially religious. According to his nephew, Kirk Burrell, David Kirk was aware of social injustice from an early age. Speaking from Texas, he recalled his uncle's story of being 8 or 9 years old.
And he was sitting at the table in his house, and there was a black woman that worked for the family, and she always sat at a different table. And he asked his mother, "Why did she not get to sit at the same table as they did?" And she replied, "Well, that's just how it is." And he always said as a young boy he felt there was something not right about that.
In 1956, at the University of Alabama, he was part of a group who protected Authorine Lucy, the first black student to try to integrate the school. And he was deeply influenced by a Catholic chaplain on campus who opposed segregation. But when David Kirk converted, it was to the Melkite Rite, which he viewed as less reactionary than the Roman Catholic Church. He was eventually ordained a priest and returned to Alabama in the mid-60s to continue his civil rights work. But there was a problem.
He says, "I was lonely in Mobile for brothers who shared the same radical vision of the gospel."
That's nephew Kirk Burrell reading from an unpublished manuscript of his uncle's life. In it, David Kirk describes thinking about settling down, leading a normal life.
"But the gospel stuck like a grape in my throat. And one day I left my family, I left everything and caught a train to New York. I got off the train with $10 in my pocket, and there happened to be a Catholic worker selling papers at the station. He took me home to Dorothy.
Dorothy was Dorothy Day, one of the founders of the Catholic Worker Movement, which espoused a radical vision of Christianity with an emphasis on social justice and experiencing the plight of the poor.
And I think he was moved with her whole concept of the house of hospitality. So she opened her door, and anyone needed a place to sleep, they came in, and they were instant family. And his idea was not sending money. He was very adamant about shelters, that shelters weren't the answer. His model was a house for hospitality, to build a community.
Day persuaded him to open his community in Harlem. It and similar communities worldwide drew their name from a biblical story of two travelers on the road to Emmaus. They recognize Jesus only when they break bread with him. By living with and forging a community of the poor, Father David tried to live the gospel. In the early years of Emmaus House, he lent its voice to the anti-Vietnam protests. He befriended Father Daniel Berrigan, the Jesuit priest and famous anti-war activist. At the heart of their friendship, Father Berrigan says, was a shared belief that modern war was in direct violation of the nonviolence of Christ.
David and even some of his residents, who I think in the beginning felt particularly vulnerable before the law because they were technically homeless and were not white, they resolved nonetheless, because they trusted us, that they would take part in our sit-ins and be arrested along with us. So that was marvelous. It increased the scope of the protest because people who were denied housing and food and a proper place in the city were saying no to the war as well.
Over the next 40 years, Emmaus refined its vision and expanded its scope. At its height, the Emmaus House operated out of a five-story building that housed dozens of long-term residents and served thousands of meals a month to the poor. At various times, Emmaus created an in-house school, an emergency shelter, a food pantry, and housing for people with AIDS. And it was primarily run by the formerly homeless people who gravitated to Father David's vision. As Father David's health began to fail in recent years, Emmaus moved to a smaller building and scaled back some of its operations. But residents still put in 6 hours of work a day. The weekly food pantry and soup runs continued. And Father David continued his own spiritual journey, joining the Eastern Orthodox Church in 2004. Daryl Wood says the day before Father David died, the priest criticized him for being irresponsible and not showing up at the house on time. Afterward, though, he says they talked and talked about God, about being a Christian, about how to find God in others.
And eventually he got tired. And the last thing Father David said to me was, "Daryl, you know, I see greatness in you, but say you're only trying to do enough to get by." He said you need to try to work on achieving that greatness.
Louis Centeno manages Emmaus House. For the last 3 years, he says he was the last person to talk with Father David at night and the first person to see him in the morning. Usually when he left Father David, the priest would ask him to lock the door.
He just wanted peace and quiet because every day here is, you know, it's very stressful. You're handling so many people, so many different issues coming at you. But that Tuesday night, he said, "Louis, don't lock the door. Leave the door open."
On Wednesday, Emmaus House will open its doors to the destitute of Harlem for the weekly food pantry, the first they've been able to hold since Father David died. The board of directors will also meet this week to discuss the future of Emmaus House. Beneath their resolve to carry on Father David's work, residents recognize that the future of their community is uncertain. But of the many emotions coursing through the house this week, grief, celebration, and determination seems the strongest. Kate Davidson, NPR News.
Once again, I'm Daryl Wood, and we're going to sing Father David's favorite song, the one we sung at his wake, soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon. We are going to be the king. Soon and very soon.
we are gonna see the king. Soon and very soon, we are gonna see the king. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're gonna see the king.
There'll be no more crying there.